This morning we were on Genesis chapter 27. We were speaking about four people. We spoke about Isaac. We spoke about Rebekah. We spoke about Jacob. We spoke about Esau. And Esau was annoyed because Jacob, the younger, had cheated him out of his birthright and then cheated him out of the blessing. And he said, when my father Isaac died, I'm after him and I want him to, I should kill him. And Rebekah, his mother, heard this and told Jacob. And Jacob said, look, you're to go off to another land, to the land of your mother and her father and brother, and you're to find a wife there. It might be that Esau's wrathful go down in a few days. I want you to go off. So off Isaac, off Jacob went. He left home. He was a youngster. Well, he probably weren't a youngster, as Bill pointed out this morning. He left home and he went to this far country. Now I want us to start our reading at chapter, at verse 10 of chapter 28. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed a dream, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascended and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you will lie, I will give to you and your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. So early in the morning, Jacob took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of the place Bethel, but the name of that city was Luz at the first. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be called God's house, and of all that you give me, I will give a full tenth to you. So this man Jacob was on the run, and he left Beersheba, left for Padan Aram. And if you were to turn to Genesis 35 and verse 3, we read, looking back, he said, the day of my distress, when I left Isaac, my father, when Esau, my brother, was after me, it was the day of my distress. I want to think first of all tonight of the place. Jacob had set off. We're not told whether it was the first night, second night, or whatever night it was. But he was tired. And he didn't go into a hotel or a travel lodge if they had them in those days. He lay down on the ground. And there was a stone there, and he used the stone for a pillow. And he lodged in the open all night. And it was very cold, I expect. The ground was hard. The pillow was certainly hard. The air got cooler as the night goes on. We know that these hot nights, we don't want to do that at first. And then about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, it begins to get cool. And I get told, can I have the duvet on? Because the wind, it begins to get cool. It was a place that was very uneasy. If his bones were sore with the day's journey, his night's rest would make them even sore. Sleeping on the ground. I remember when we first went to Pioneer Camp, we used to have palliasses. I don't expect to have them now, sacks filled with straw. And if you got one that was really full of straw, yes, you were comfortable. And then the straw came out doing it. But we laid on the ground. It was hard. And it was very much exposed. He was fleeing for his life. Esau could come running after him. Yes, he'd had the blessing of Isaac from God. You read that in verses 3 and 4 of our chapter. But by this time, he almost certainly would have replayed in his mind 1,000 times what he had done. He had deceived his father. He had cheated his brother. And that must have played on his mind. What a place that was. A night of hardship. But it led for a wonderful experience. Yes, the grave must have been hard, but he must have slept because he had a dream. It was a night of grace. While he was running away, God revealed himself to him by his grace. Someone has said, one of the amazing things about God's words of Jacob is that there is not one word of rebuke. God does not kick people when they are down. And we saw that this morning. God used Isaac, Rebecca, Jacob, and they had their faults. And God can use us. We have our faults. But he comes to us again in his grace. And then in this dream, we see, first of all, a picture. A picture of that ladder that rested on the ground. And went to heaven. It's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven was opened. God spoke to Jacob that night. And how can I say it's a picture of Jesus Christ? It's confirmed for us in the New Testament. Jesus himself said to Nathanael in John chapter 1 and verse 50, Jesus asked him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe you will see greater things than these? Then he said to him, truly, truly, I say unto you, you will see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. It's a picture of the Lord Jesus. And we shall see in our second hymn the older version of Beneath the Cross of Jesus. Because there we read, there we sing of the cross being a ladder up to heaven. And it is. But it's providence also. We see God ministering to his people on earth through angels. We all have our ministering angels. But it's also a word of promise. And a wonderful promise these verses contain to Jacob. Jacob no longer heard the promises from someone else. The promise that was given to Abraham, his father, or grandfather, and to Isaac, his father. But God comes to meet with Jacob personally himself. I wonder, has God met with you personally? And he came and he confirmed the promise that he gave to Abraham and to Isaac. Read 13 and 14 again. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Jacob was promised a land. There he was on a journey, leaving the land. And he said, look, you will inherit this land, Jacob. I promise that you and your descendants will inherit this land. He said, I am going to bring you back. And your seed shall be as the dust of the earth. You're going to Padan Aram to find a wife. Yes, you will find a wife. And you shall have seed. And they shall be as the dust of the earth. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed, the west and the east and the north and the south. You've only got to turn to Luke 3:34, where you read the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go right down to the I think that's Abraham, or is that? No. Now, right down to Adam. And in 34, you shall see the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor. Jacob was in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, it does not mean a natural offspring. It means an spiritual offspring. Because if we're born again, we belong to that great number, which no one can number. And then in the dream we read that his need would be met. Jacob had to travel alone on an unknown road to an unknown country. But God says, behold, I am with you. I am with you, Jacob. It's a promise that God says to us today, I am with you. Whatever happens this week, we know one thing, the Lord is with us. He was apprehensive of the danger from Esau. He was still on the run from Esau. But the Lord said, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. And we turn to Jude, where we have that wonderful promise that he will keep us from falling and present us before the Father's right hand. He did not know all the hardships that we'd face under Uncle Laban's service. But he said, look, I will keep thee whither thou goest. And then he's going into a land of exile. He's going into a strange land. But God says, I will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I've done what I promised you. And God will not leave us, friends. If we're his tonight, he will not leave us until we get the glory, until we're presented faultless before the Father's right hand. So we have the dream, and then we have the response. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. For Jacob, that place of Bethel became the house of God. It was not a building. Now we often say the building is not the church, and we know it is. This is only the chapel where the church meets, and God is present with his people. When we meet together, he is there with us. But to Jacob, that piece of land was so precious. And I'm sure all of us could look back to those places in our lives that are so precious to us. Forgive me for bringing Pioneer Camp up again. I suppose I'm the same as Tom. But there's a field on the cliffs just outside Sheringham where God met me in 1966. He's kept me. I've walked across that field many a time. And I've sung the choruses that we were taught at that camp. And some of you know what it is. You can think of other places. God met us. And we all know the place where God meets. And God met with Jacob that night. And he was struck with awe. He was afraid and said, how dreadful or how awesome is this place. He'd seen the Lord. You remember Isaiah in the temple? He saw the Lord in all his glory. And he said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of an unclean people of unclean lips. He's seen the Lord, and he's seen his sinfulness. But I must be quick now. Jacob turned that stone over on his head, and he poured oil on the top of it. And that stone remained, because in chapter 35 and verse 7 we read, and Jacob came to Luz, that's verse 6, this is Bethel, which is in the land of land of Canaan. He and all the people who were with him. And there he built an altar. And he called the place Es Bethel, because there God had revealed himself to him when he fled from his brother. That stone was still there, and he built an altar. And then he vowed a vow that he would serve him, serve God all his days. We vowed a vow, didn't we? Oh, Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. Has God met with you? Have you seen God by faith, face to face? Have you made that promise? Oh Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Amen.